Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
When Mike first announced this, when he started this series, he said we were going to be talking about Christ's passion. And as he was talking that morning, something came to mind of an experience I had a few years back, so I thought I would share that with you. I was part of volunteer staff for an organization called National Religious Broadcasters. And so basically the first time you show up, they put you where they think you might fit, and you go from there. Well, over the next 14, 15 years, I ended up taking care of the green room, which if you don't know what the green room is, it's the room behind the platform where all the speakers, singers hang out, whatever. And then I also did what I guess I'm going to term escort security. So if there was a big name there, I would get them from where they were to where they needed to be for the session, and then I would get them back again. And so this particular year, the organization decided to give an award to the guy who made The Passion of the Christ. Anybody know who that was? Mel Gibson. And so he had told us that he was going to send one of his staffers to receive the award for him and whatever. Well, about an hour before, maybe 2 hours before the general session, he called and said, I changed my mind. I'm coming myself. Well, with a person of that profile, you have to handle things a little different because everybody wants to shake his hand and talk to him, you know. And so I got a call. We're putting Mel in this room. Actually, let me see if I can find it here. Okay, why isn't this working now? I didn't put it up there, did I? Hello? Is it up there? Let's see if it'll go. Okay, that's kind of hard to see. But on this left side for you guys. Anyhow, if it comes back, on the left side, you will see. This is not changing for me, Alan. I'm not sure what's up. There we go. Oh. Did I move it wrong? I noticed technology's been a challenge this morning, and I guess that's to keep me more nervous. Anyhow, the little rooms on the left, if they come back up there, is where he was. And so I was told, stand outside the door. Nobody is to go in that room. I don't care if it's hotel staff. I don't care who it is. Nobody goes in that room. I don't know why this thing's turning on and off, Alan, but it's just jumping all over the place. Anyway, so I'm standing there, and Mel comes to the door, and he says, I'd like to go out on the balcony. So we're on the third floor of the Anaheim Convention Center, and there's a big glass wall, and there's a balcony, and you can see over the whole city. And so he was out on the balcony, and I'm in my black suit, my church shoes, got my little radio thing in my ear, my mic on my cuff, you know, and I get a call in my ear. We're ready for Mel. Bring him to the room. And so I said, okay, Mel, it's time to go. We got to go in, and I'll let you do your thing there. So all of a sudden, the vice president of the association comes on the radio and says, no, don't take him. It's not time. I said, sorry, Mel, it's not time. So he went back on the balcony, and do I need to hit this thing? Maybe? I don't know. F5? So he goes back on the balcony. Then I get a call in my ear, and I can hear applause. And I can hear the guy saying, everybody's on their feet, they're clapping, where's Mel? And I'm like, Mel, we got to go. And at that moment, the vice president comes flying around the corner, and he's like, we got to go, follow me. And so, it's still not up, okay. Anyhow, so where we were in the room, if you go that way about 60 feet, there's the back hall. So all the ballrooms are lined up. And there's a hallway down the backside, and the kitchen staff are on the other side of the hall. And they're all back there pouring drinks and getting things ready for a meal for somebody. And so David says, let's go. And he takes off running. So David heads out through the doors. Mel goes through the doors, and I'm behind Mel. And we are running down this back corridor as fast as we can run. And I'm telling you, this corridor, I figured it out because their little map here has got room sizes. It was about 500 feet we had to run. So I'm talking like here to Doris's house. It was a long ways. And so we are running. We go by the kitchen staff, and all these people are pouring, and they're like, that was Mel Gibson. they're looking. And so about halfway down the hall, and I mean, we are booking. And Mel goes, man, this guy can run. And we're flying down the hall. We get to the doorway where we're coming down the hall. We're going to turn into this ballroom. But they had it. There it is. So the red X is where the balcony is. The X on A and B rooms is where we were headed. So they had draped the door so you couldn't see directly into the hall from the ballroom. So you came in and you turned to go in. And then the stage was in the middle of the room. So all the people are around the stage. We're coming into an aisle that's going to take us to the stage. So we are running as fast as we can run. When Mel gets to this point, he turns and stopped. And I ran smack into him and almost knocked him over. So that's my experience running into Mel Gibson. I just thought I would share that with you. So you just never know who you might run into in a day. Anyhow, on a more serious note, what I'm going to share with you today, I hope, is going to be a very simple thing. The concepts are very simple, but my guess is it's going to be one of the hardest things you will ever do in your life, because I'm going to ask you to be humble and not proud, and I'm going to ask you to pray consistently. And I think for human beings, those are two things that we struggle with more than anything else. So before I get into that, I just want to run us up to, I'm just going to kind of quickly go through the events that happened. I'm starting here 2 days before the Passover. And so it was 2 days before the Passover, the Festival of Unleavened Bread, and the religious leaders were looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus and kill him. But they said not during the Passover. So this is where we're going to start. And we're going to just kind of go through this more quickly. But so going through the time and the days, the next major event, and I'm kind of basing this out of Matthew, was Jesus was anointed. The woman came and anointed him with the expensive ointment. And then it was in this time when Satan entered into Judas, and he decided he was going to go talk to the chief priests and see if he could betray Jesus to them. Then the 2 days later, the Passover comes. Jesus has the Passover meal with his disciples, and it was at this meal, we all know, after the meal, it says he took the bread and the cup, and this is where the Lord's Supper was instituted. And so Jesus spent that time with his disciples. And then he also told Peter, you know, Satan has asked that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, he said, so that you will not fail. And Peter says, Lord, I'm ready. I'm going to go with you. And we all know the story. Jesus says, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. And then it's at this point where they head out to go to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is where we will spend most of our time today. And then at that point, after he prays, they come and they arrest him, and then Jesus is taken before Caiaphas, and it's at that time when Peter actually denies Jesus and realizes what Jesus said earlier. And then lastly, here in this time of events, Jesus is taken to Pilate to be crucified. And so I've done something a little bit different here today because of the fact that Matthew has a lot of it. I based most of this off of Matthew. However, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all cover this event. So my scripture passage today is a melding of all four Gospels. So we're going to get all the little details that we miss when we go through Matthew. So bear with me and we'll see if we can get through this today. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same thing. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. If you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. I'm going to pause here just for a moment. This cup, when he says, "Let this cup," it's kind of like, in my mind, it's like, well, this is weird. What cup, you know, what is he? I believe it was the cup of God's wrath that he was about to receive because he was taking our sin on himself. And so Jesus being God in the flesh, as God, he had never been apart from God. He was God. And when he took our sin on himself, God was going to have to turn his face away. And this, I believe, was the cup that he's referring to here, which is why Jesus was in so much agony as he prayed, because he didn't want to be separated from his Father, and yet he knew it was the only way for salvation to come. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Then he said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately while he was speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus, this is hilarious to me, when Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. They all fell over backwards. All he did was say, "I am he," and they all fell over. I just can't imagine. I mean, there was lots of people there. There was anyway, going on. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And when those who were around saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant's ear and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. And then he said, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me?" More than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. All this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled, and a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth." I don't know why they included this, but they did. "And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance." Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit to illuminate to us the word of God. And Father, I am nothing, I am no one, and I need your help today to share these thoughts. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak through me the truth that we need to hear today to encourage our hearts, to strengthen us in our faith, and to help us to be a stronger body of believers. And I thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So just some thoughts on this scripture passage that I just read to you. There's a lot there, but I want to focus on two things. The first one being this scripture, this where Jesus says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus did not want to drink this cup of God's wrath, but he was willing to give up what he wanted for God's will, for the Father's will to be accomplished. Now, as I mentioned earlier, that there would not be a gospel, there would not be the possibility for us to come to Christ if Christ had not died on that cross and given the blood sacrifice that God required for the atonement of sin. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I guess for myself, all these years, I've just kind of read through this, and I'm like, oh yeah, getting nails through my wrist and my ankles and hanging up there, that would be nasty. I could see why he was in agony. But as I searched this and looked at it, I realized that wasn't where the agony was coming from at all. The physical pain was the small part of it. The real thing was, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that if he did not go through with this plan that his Father had created, there would be no hope for us. And his concern was for us. As a matter of fact, one thing that I heard in the passage, as he goes in the garden and he goes back to the disciples and wakes them up, and then he goes back and prays, and then he goes back, and this preacher said it was because of his concern for them that he had told them. He told them when they got to the garden, and this will be my next point, but he told them when they got there, and again when he came back to them, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so he was concerned about them as much as himself, because he knew what was coming just a couple hours up the road when all these people were going to show up with clubs and spears and everything. And so I think two things. One, his concern for the creation, but also the fact that his Father would have to turn his face away as he's hanging on that cross, I think was part of the agony of this whole thing. But the point that I want to make here is that Jesus, as our example, gave up what he wanted to do the Father's will. And sometimes we get in the middle of a struggle and we want God to take it away. We want him to take it away. We don't want to do it. But sometimes he has reasons, and I'm probably jumping ahead of myself, but we'll look at that a little more in a second here. I wanted to look at Hebrews 5:7. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus was our perfect example in that if Jesus needed to do this, how much more should we? Because he didn't want to do it, but he knew he had to, and he did. He submitted. And so we need to be willing in the midst of trials to say, Lord, you know, I really don't like this. I don't want to do this, but your will be done. And if he so chooses to take us out, that's his prerogative. And if he doesn't, we do it with as joyful of a heart as we can. Next passage is 26, 40, and 41. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, our little excerpt in the scripture, you know, that took me, what, a minute or two to read that section? But Jesus was over there for an hour in agony, and he said to Peter, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So the spirit is indeed willing, the flesh is weak. The word watch there in the Greek is to watch or keep awake, which I thought was interesting because they kept falling asleep. But to keep awake, be vigilant. So to be very determined to watch and to see what's going on, and then pray is to pray to God, supplicate, worship. So Jesus is saying, temptation is going to come your way. You need to be on guard. You need to be watching. You need to be vigilant to see what's going on around you. But the second part of that is pray. So we need to prepare ourselves in prayer, so that as things come to us, we are prepared. We're not only watching and ready and on guard, How many times have you said something you didn't think you should have said later when you got taken by surprise? Something pops up and you're not expecting it, and all of a sudden you say or do something and then you go, oh boy, that was not the right thing to do. But, you know, you get taken by surprise. Same thing with temptation. You're just moseying through life and all of a sudden, boom. And if you're not prepared, you're much more likely to give in to that temptation. And so watch and pray is a theme here throughout this entire section, even back in before this part of the story, watching and praying and so on. So as I looked at this, you know, I thought too, there is, let me see, where am I here? Okay, let me go to the next one. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter. So this is the one he told them when they came to the garden. So Jesus knew what was coming. So he's over there trying to keep them awake and keep them praying to prepare themselves for when the soldiers show up. And they kept falling asleep because they didn't understand. And later, when they all fled, I think Peter probably figured out, oh, that's what he was trying to tell us. We needed to be asking for God's help too, just like he was, because he spent that time in prayer and he was able to face the crowd and go to the cross and pay for our sin. They did not pray. They fell asleep and they all scattered. And I'm sure they felt bad about that later. I know they did. And so Jesus knew what was coming and he kept telling them, watch and pray, watch and pray. Stay awake, be vigilant, know what's coming around you because temptation's going to come your way. And I say that to us today. The temptation is going to come our way every day. Probably there will be something that will come at us. And we need to be prepared in prayer. And if you look at Jesus' life, he was continually going off to pray. Scripture after scripture says he was with the crowd and then he went off to the Mount of Olives to pray. He spent all day ministering to people and then he went up in the mountain to pray at night, to be with his Father, to talk to his Father. And so I think that he is our example that we need to be faithful to pray consistently day in and day out, whether it's good times or bad times, because when the bad times come, that's going to help to prepare us for what we're going to face. Now, I wanted to also just mention one thing that sometimes we get tied up with, and I don't know, I haven't studied this part out to know, but I noticed that Jesus went back and prayed. Jesus went and prayed three times. He left the disciples. He went one. He came back. He went two. Came back. He went three. Came back. And I remember that Paul said when he was talking about his thorn in the flesh, he said, three times I prayed. And God said, nah, I got a better plan for you. I'm not taking that. And so this is just an observation. Like I said, I haven't studied this out. But sometimes, you know, we get so tangled up in, God, I can't handle this. This is too hard. I don't want to do this. Take it away from me. And I think maybe I'm going to suggest that if you're prayed up and prepared and things keep going in that direction, that we maybe start listening to say, God, are you trying to speak to me? Are you trying to tell me you have a better plan than getting rid of this right now for me? Because sometimes we just get so focused on, I got to get rid of this. I want to get rid of this. I'm tired of this trial that we don't always make ourselves willing to open up and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to lay down my will and I'm going to accept your will in this situation and let you do what you want to do. And so I'm going to say this is not a game. Temptation is going to come at us every single day. We need to be vigilant. We need to stay awake and know what's going on. We need to be earnest in prayer for whatever is coming so that we can overcome temptation as we go through day by day. And let me see, that's the end of my slide, so I guess I jumped ahead of my notes there. But anyway, so my last things for you all is Jesus was an example to us. He regularly spent time in prayer with the Father, talking to his Father. He was consistent. Scripture says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he knew that he needed to be prepared for that. And so he spent time regularly, consistently with his Father. And again, I want to encourage you in that same thing. So it's just, it's very simple. Are we prepared? Are we prayed up? And are we humble enough to be willing to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done? And, wow, that went kind of quick, but that's okay. I don't need to keep talking. I have one verse to leave with you, and that is from Philippians chapter 4. And it simply says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, not just a few, everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Are you getting prepared? Let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.